facebook.com.
Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends. What does it feel like to step over a line and be in another state? How does a physician from America serving in Western Africa cross over from surviving a pandemic with determination to go back into an infected area to save more lives? This is the story of Dr. Rick Sacra, whose service as a missionary doctor at ELWA in Monrovia, Liberia, was magnified during the Ebola outbreak of 2014, catapulting him to a media platform that he has used for God's purposes, pointing to a future of hope through COVID and trials we all face as human beings. As 2 Corinthians 1:9 reminds us of a resurrection hope. We pause here, as we typically do here at the beginning of our program, to remind you the Good Life Show is, we're here to share the love of Jesus Christ and how that love makes a difference in the lives of people like you, dear friend. I'm talking about the love of Jesus so strong that he died on the cross for your sins and mine. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, offering God's hope to us. And my friend, if you haven't turned to Christ, will you turn from your way to God's way? That's repentance. That's our prayer and our hope. And if you already know the Lord, I believe you're going to be encouraged today. Dr. Richard Amsden Sacra is a missionary physician with SIM working with ELWA in Liberia. He is also a professor at UMass Chan School of Medicine. He earned his bachelor's in biochemistry at Brown University and his MD from University of Massachusetts Medical School. He completed his residency at East Tennessee State University, Quillen College of Medicine. He is married to Dr. Debbie Sacra. Dr. Sacra, welcome to our show.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Where did you grow up?
In the Boston Metro West area in Wayland, Massachusetts.
What was it like for you growing up there?
Well, I was the youngest of four boys. Had a lovely home, wonderful parents. I really count myself blessed in that. I was a bit of a nerd. When other kids were playing outside, I was going to the library and getting more books about anatomy or things like that. I actually knew I wanted to be in medicine even before I finished elementary school. I don't know where that came from, except that the Lord put it in me, and we had a wonderful family doctor who I loved and admired and idolized.
Who would you say, Rick, influenced you most in your growing up years?
Probably it would be our youth pastor, whose name was Harry Odaguro. Wonderful guy, actually an MIT grad, and very, very sharp. Became a Christian while he was in college, and then went to seminary and became our youth pastor, and just really allowed us to dive into God's Word. We even studied Greek and Hebrew together in high school. Very high energy, really penetrating. You know, wanted you to get to the bottom of things, was not at all into like a superficial kind of Christianity. It was really wanting people to get deep into the Bible and the history and everything about this faith of in Jesus. And so he had a huge influence on me, really helped anchor my faith.
Let's go a little further, Rick. Harry Odaguro, your spiritual journey, your family growing up, the spiritual layers within your family, how did you become anchored in your faith in Christ?
It started quite young. I had some wonderful Sunday school teachers and people who invested in me even while I was in elementary school. Ellie Adgate, Helen Kemper. I mean, these are some people who just, you know, would even take time with me after class or after church to sit and talk about the Lord. And then, so they were really the ones who planted the seed. I mean, I was challenged to receive Christ personally, you know, from a very young age. And I don't have a day or a specific memory because I was so young, probably 7 years old at the time. And then I remember in junior high meeting with Harry, the youth pastor, and saying to him, well, I can't remember the day when I became a Christian, so can we just do something now to like affirm it and confirm it and make sure it's for real? So we did that, and he prayed with me, and he said, don't worry, I'm sure you're already a Christian, but we'll pray together now so that you can have that assurance on a day when you'll remember, you know, which I still remember to this day. But again, it was just that, and he had no interest in a faith that was devoid of or separate from your rationality, your rational mind. He wanted to make sure that you weren't leaving behind your thinking faculty in order to plunge into some kind of a faith experience that was not anchored in reality. He was really very solid in terms of, hey, look, this is historic truth that we're banking on here in Christ. Reading books like Who Moved the Stone and things like that were very meaningful to me as well, just in terms of anchoring my faith in the historical record.
You mentioned when you were younger, almost ever since you could remember, you wanted to be a physician. About what age was that?
Oh, by fourth grade or so, I remember going on a walk with my dad, and he asked me what I wanted to do when I grew up, and I told him I wanted to be a doctor, and I remember having this conversation with him and him explaining to me, well, you got to, you know, there's college, and then there's medical school, and then you have more training after that, and sort of laying the thing out for me, even at that young age. Yeah.
So there's an overlap with your knowing about your career as a physician and your spiritual life. How did they merge?
The meeting missionaries was a big part of it, I think. Trinitarian Church in Wayland, where I attended growing up, would often have missionaries come in that the church supported, people who were serving in Thailand. We had a nurse who served in Thailand. We had a family who served in Iran. We had missionaries who served in Japan. I remember their faces and their names and everything, and I'd have conversations with them. You know, after service, they'd be hanging around, and I'd be the little kid who would come up and kind of tug on their sleeve and say, hey, I want to ask you a question. Do you need doctors over there? And so we, you know, I started to have some conversations with people about, hey, could I use this medicine thing for the Lord? You know, could I use this to make a difference for Christ? And, you know, everybody was always very encouraging and positive about that. And so that was kind of something I'd settled on by the time I finished high school.
let's go to Brown, let's go to medical school, let's go to Tennessee, East Tennessee for your residency. Let's clip along there. As how did your spiritual growth and the desire for missions emerge in your heart all the more during that time?
The experiences I got to have during college, you know, was when I began to get to experience cross-cultural situations. I had never been out of the country before. And then during college, I was involved with Campus Crusade, which is now known as CRU. At the time, it was called Campus Crusade for Christ, and I was a part of that group. And we, you know, studied the Bible together and had discipleship together, and that was very helpful to me, those regular meetings with somebody older who would pray with me and just encourage me in my walk with God. And then I went on a summer project. I went on one down at Daytona Beach for a summer where we, you know, learned how to share our faith and how to present the gospel. And then I signed up for a summer project in Japan 1 year, 1984, was able to go to Japan for 6 weeks as part of a group called Discover Friends, kind of a cross-cultural exchange program that was under Campus Crusade, but also, you know, just a chance to get to know another culture, a chance to begin to learn what it's like to try to share Christ in a different place with a different culture.
You're listening to Dr. Rick Sakura. Dr. Rick Sakura sharing the journey of faith, yes, but also the journey of a calling, a specific direction that the Lord placed in his heart ever since he was a boy. And there's an overlap of his faith and through the years, preparing him for a lifetime of work. Do you ever look back and wonder, my friend, as we go to our break today, are there things that I can see in my childhood? Are there things in my earlier years that I'm able to connect the dots and see the fingerprints of God, even in my faith journey as well as my career? Dr. Rick Sakura shares heart to heart with us today. When we come back, you're going to hear more from him. You know, the Lord did something in his life when he was a missionary physician in Liberia. He'll talk about that and more heart to heart with you. That's what we do here at the Good Life radio program. It's all about heart, really God's heart to your heart, my friend. Stay with us. We'll be back with more from Dr. Rick Sakura, facebook.com/Rick.Sakura. Stay with us.
Desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
In 2018, Dr. Rick Sakura was honored at a ceremony in New York where he received the Gerson Lachaim Prize for Outstanding Medical Missionary Service by African Mission Healthcare for dedicating his life to Christian missionary work with SIM, an International Christian Missionary Organization. Watch this now. The $500,000 prize was used to train Liberian family medicine residents, install solar capacity, and establish intensive care units with trained staff. Dr. Rick Sacra is with us today. Thanks for joining, dear friend. If you're tuning in right now, maybe you caught the tail end of the last segment. Look, you can get this program in its entirety. It's a gift. Go to drdanny.live. The podcasts are there on major podcast platforms. And I would say, share it with a family member or friend. Rick, where did you meet Debbie?
Debbie and I met at Brown during our first couple years of school there.
What circumstances led you and Debbie to join SIM and serve with ELWA in Liberia?
We knew we wanted to get some overseas experience before we had kids. So while I was still in medical school, we actually took a year off from medical school shortly after we'd gotten married, and we were looking for somewhere to go. And we wrote letters to a bunch of different hospitals. We got a list of different mission hospitals from a sponsoring group out of Georgia. And we just wrote to 10 or 12 different places. This was back in the 80s, you know, snail mail. And nobody wanted a medical student for a whole year, actually. So what ended up happening is that this place in Liberia, ELWA, which was one of the places we wrote to, initially they wrote back and said, well, you could come for a couple months as a medical student, but you can't come for a whole year. And then about a week later, we got another letter from them that said, oh, the people at our school, because there was a school for missionary children there on the compound, the same compound as the hospital, got your letter and noticed that your wife is a school teacher, that Mrs. Saker is a school teacher, and they need her. So you can come for the year. So that was our...
Thanks to Debbie.
Yeah. So that was our open door to get us in somewhere for a whole year was Debbie's teaching degree and her credentials to do junior high English and social studies. So that was how we ended up at ELWA. We didn't know anything about SIM. We didn't know anything about Liberia. But we went. And during that year, we just bonded with the Liberian people. We loved Liberian culture. We enjoyed connecting with Liberians. We just really felt something in our hearts that just cemented us to that place and those people. And we loved SIM. SIM was very solid. They were reliable. They were Christ-centered. They majored on the majors of the basics of the gospel and the good news about Christ. And they didn't major on the minors. They weren't too worried about the little things that sometimes divide us as Christians. So we loved that about SIM as a mission. So we just really connected with both of those things, both Liberia and with SIM, during our one-year experience. And so then after we came back home, finished med school, went through residency, worked for a few years here in the States, it was natural. It just felt natural for us to come back to SIM and to look at joining that as our long-term.
In what ways did that one-year experience have a galvanizing effect on you and Debbie back in America, finishing up med school, in terms of focus, purpose, even energy in the way that you engaged?
Oh, it was very important, because up until then, we had the conviction. We had this very solid conviction that we were to do this, but we didn't have any. When people said, well, what's your experience? Until that one-year time, we had nothing. We just had a prayer and a faith in God, but we didn't have any. There was no real life mileage. There was no mileage on this car. But that experience led us, you know, it gave us the confidence to say, we know that we can go and serve in this place and make a difference in this place, because we had done it for a year and really had enjoyed it and been successful. And the hospital wanted us back. And Yeah.
Describe life in Liberia when you and Debbie first moved there as long-term missionaries.
Well, in 1995, when we moved to Liberia, it was during a little gap in the middle of the Civil War. There was the Civil War had phases where there would be a peace agreement and things would look a little better for a while, and then they'd fall apart again. So 95 was one of those times when things were looking up. There was an interim government in place. There was a lot of hope that this was the beginning of true peace for Liberia. So things were moving up, but things were really rough there in the mid-90s. I mean, the country had been at war already for 5 years. The infrastructure was terrible. There were no utilities in the country. Liberia is a very poor place. So things were tough. But unfortunately, they were destined to become even tougher in the years to come.
Take us there in the mid-90s. Move forward to the 2014 period. How do you recall, Rick, God spoke to you when you tested positive for Ebola?
Well, the thing that I would say was most, that impressed me the most, or that has stuck with me in my memory most about that day, was that although I was obviously not happy, and I was worried for my wife and my sons and so forth, God gave me an amazing sense of peace, even on the day when I had been tested for Ebola and I got the call from my boss, Dr. Jerry Brown, that my Ebola test was positive and that I knew I was going to get a lot sicker. I wasn't too sick yet. It takes, sometimes up to a week to really show all the symptoms. But even when I got that call and Jerry Brown told me my results were showed Ebola in my blood, I just had a sense of peace from God. And it wasn't that I knew I was going to get better. It was actually just God telling me, look, if this is it, then you get to come and be with me. And don't worry about your wife and your kids. I'll take care of them. And if this isn't it, if you're going to survive through it, then I'll have more for you to do. So just rest in me. It was just that sense of calm. And I didn't know if I was going to make it or not, but God kind of said, it'll be okay either way, Rick.
In what ways did you see God moving during the time of the hysteria of the breakout?
Oh, the hysteria was terrible. But I guess what I would say is in the midst of it in Liberia, I saw people of faith really stepping up. I mean, there were people in the Ebola unit when I was there, those few days when I was in Liberia in the Ebola treatment unit before I got evacuated. There were several pastors and church leaders in there who had mostly recovered and were just waiting for their tests to go negative. And they were going around and praying with patients, praying with the sick, having an amazing impact right there inside this Ebola treatment unit. We really saw the Lord stirring people's minds and hearts to trust him during that time.
Someone might ask, where does this peace come from? Explain this level of peace. Because now you're facing, in that moment, you're facing humanity's greatest fear, peace.
I guess two things I would say. One is that it's the peace of God beyond understanding, which comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's hard to explain it, but it's there. And I really felt it, that's for sure. And the other thing I guess I would say is those scriptures that you hide in your heart that you read and memorize and hear over and over, those scriptures come back to you. I mean, I remember I prayed the Lord's Prayer every day with tears in my eyes while I was sick. And I remember, you know, saying the 23rd Psalm. And some of those passages, they seem to get stale in our minds maybe because we've known them a long time. But boy, when you're in the middle of the facing mortality, facing, hey, this might be it, that's something to grab on tight to. That's something to cling to in those moments.
Something to hold on to, something to cling to in the moments of life when things go awry. The surprise news comes, the unexpected change takes place. The heart is broken in ways that we would have never imagined. Where do you find peace? Well, Dr. Rick Sacra shares about a peace from God that passes all understanding. You can find out more about his ministry, the work that he's doing, at facebook.com/rick.sacra. When we come back, we'll talk more about some of the practical things that moved him, that moved his wife, Debbie, to not only thank God for healing that they experienced, that he experienced, but God set up a platform for him, and it was to be used for God's purpose. He'll share more about that and more, dear friend, when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the bare.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Evangelism can be likened to an exquisite pearl necklace. In order for the necklace to be complete, each pearl is carefully strung on, one at a time. Only after the last pearl is strung will the clasp be attached. Most people are convinced that the apex of evangelism is in being that figurative clasp, leading someone to trust Christ. In reality, there would be no need for a clasp without any pearls being strung. Which is more important, the pearls or the clasp? They all are. Not everyone can be a clasp all the time, but in evangelism, you can always be a precious pearl.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience The Good Life today.
Dr. Rick Sacra contracted Ebola at the height of West Africa's pandemic in 2014 while delivering babies at ELWA Hospital in Liberia. As soon as he recovered, he returned to Liberia to help patients and rebuild the country. The Good Life radio program here. Find out more about Dr. Rick Sacra at facebook.com/rick.sacra. Rick, why go back? Your life was spared. What moves you to have this desire to want to return?
The joke we always would say about it is, hey, I'm immune. So That was part of it. To be frank, I never thought about not going back. You know, we had served there already for over 15 years. It was our second home. That would be like, I don't know. I couldn't turn my back on Liberia at that time. These were the people I loved and cared about. It was really, like I said, kind of a bond that we felt the Lord had put in our hearts. So there was not that was not much of a wrestling match or anything, whether to go back or not. It was just a desire to help, to make a difference in a place I knew well. So yeah, once I got my strength back, which took about 3 months, I was booking the next flight I could get on.
What do you love about the people of Liberia?
Liberians are very giving with time. Their sense of humor is infectious. I mean, if you need help in the middle of a crisis in Liberia, you can just call out to somebody, a friend or somebody even who you've just met, and say, "I need help." And they'll come, they'll drop everything and come help you in that moment. You know, they're spontaneous, they're generous. That's the kind of people they are.
Over the years, 15 plus years before the Ebola outbreak, relationships, how close are you with these people that you love so much?
Oh, some of our dear friends who we've had since 1995, they're just our closest friends. They've guided us through so many challenges there. You know, they've been our people who guided us through cultural pitfalls that we made early on and helped us figure out, okay, how do you navigate a challenging situation at work or with a neighbor in this different culture? People who guided us through those things early on, they're still our best friends now. So, yeah, we have those kinds of relationships, people we've prayed with, people we've gone through life and death situations with. So,
you went back. Why has training medical doctors in Liberia and West Africa more broadly been so important to you, Rick?
You know, if I go and serve as a missionary doctor for however long, 20 or 30 years, if I do a good job and I make people like me and people appreciate the work and so forth, and then I leave, what do I leave? I leave a gap. People will say, "Oh, gee, we missed that good doctor. He was good." But if I don't leave anything in my place, then what have I really accomplished anything in the long run? You know? Now, of course, my number one goal is for people to know that the Lord loves them and to know the life-changing knowledge of Christ. But I also want to build up the health system. I want to help Liberians have a way to stay healthy in the long run and have a healthcare system that'll hold up in the midst of things like Ebola and COVID. And so training is the way to do that. The other just very practical thing was that there have been times when we couldn't find good Christian doctors to hire for our hospital. And so it was a very practical thing. When I was talking with a friend from SIM back in 2006, and he said, "Well, if you can't find good doctors, you'll have to train them. You'll have to make them." And that was the beginning. That was the seed of beginning to think about training doctors. So it was something that was really on our hearts since around 2006, that we wanted to train family doctors at ELWA.
What kind of progress have you made?
Oh, well, very thankful to God for bringing in all the different pieces, all the faculty members and the funding that we needed. And we first proposed the program in 2013. We got approval for it at the end of 2016 and started mid-2017. And we now have 10 graduates from our 3-year family medicine residency training program. And so this is a program that combines, you know, Christian principles of how you minister through healthcare along with just the basics of good primary care medicine over a three-year period.
You mentioned COVID a moment ago. How did your experiences with Ebola shape your perceptions of COVID?
I think that it was because Liberia had been through Ebola, it made it easier for people to cope with COVID because they knew about hand washing and isolating and they'd had that experience. So that was good. I think that gave us a little bit of a head start. And certainly the hospital staff, those who had been through Ebola and had that strong constitution to get through that, you know, were the strongest ones in helping us make a plan and get through COVID. COVID was a little different because with Ebola, you just had to avoid touching. You know, COVID was harder to reduce the spread of because it was in the air. So that part was a new challenge for us. And we did have critically ill patients from COVID, and we lost patients due to COVID. So that was a challenge, though I don't think it was as bad in Liberia as it was here, actually. Just heat and humidity are good for us and bad for the virus. So a place like Liberia that's hot and humid is going to be a little better off than a place like the U.S., actually.
I remember reading about one of the interviews that you had with the UN, and you describing how you could have all the protective gear on, and some of the most compromising times was when you're taking off the gear, even to the point where you've taken off that last glove and something, so the spray down. Did that change with COVID?
Well,
that procedure?
Yeah, with COVID, the issue was more about airborne stuff, and so it was more about your mask and your face being protected. So the focus was a little different. We weren't doing so much spraying with bleach as we had been during Ebola. So it was a little bit different. But still some of the same struggles with not having enough gloves, not having enough masks, some of those same struggles. So that's the big challenge. I mean, that was even a struggle here, right? Hospitals in the U.S. were running out of masks, too.
Speaking about transitions, adjusting, resources necessary but not available, we're talking about gaps in life, gaps in people's needs, gaps that are experienced through the trials of life. While you were a resident in Bristol, you could cross over a line from one state to the next. How do you cross, Rick Sacra, from difficulty, almost hopelessness, to a future of hope?
You know, the continuity in my life just comes from my relationship with Christ. Just keeping in touch, you know, that daily time with the Lord, that daily checking in, daily reading the Word. I think to me, I mean, a lot of people have asked me that, how was it being a patient? I'm like, I don't know. I was still me. I feel like I'm the same person. I'm laying in a sick bed. Sure, I'm sick, but I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I'm Rick, and I'm depending on God for every breath. But when I'm a doctor, I'm still Rick, depending on the Lord for how to treat this patient. So I don't know. To me, I don't feel like those transitions maybe are not as hard for me. I don't know why. I can't explain it. But I feel like, hey, it's just depending on God every step of the way. that's what makes you able to get through those kinds of transitions.
Let's take some time for prayer when we come back from our break. As you share from your heart, in the moment, someone is asking a question. They may not even be verbalizing it because it might be beyond words. Their circumstance has taken them beyond the way of verbal description. But their hearts cry out. And you speak from a place that knows. You're listening to Dr. Rick Sacro. When we come back, more heart to heart. From him to you, but really, dear one, it's from God's heart to your heart. He talks about his relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus paved the way for Rick Sacra to experience a relationship with Almighty God because of what Jesus did on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. We'll share more heart to heart with you when we come back. Facebook.com, more with Rick Sacra. Stay with us. Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A police officer found a girl crying on the sidewalk one day. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I'm lost," she said. "Do you have your parents' phone number?" he asked. "No," she said. "What about your address?" "No," she began to sob. Suddenly, she stopped and her eyes brightened. "What happened?" the officer asked. "I remember," she said. "There's a church near my house. And at the top of the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, if you feel like you've lost your way, turn to the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Will you turn to Jesus? Open your heart to him and find your way home to God. James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
So it was at a 2015 press conference at UMass Medical School where Dr. Rick Sacra told reporters, "We may be tempted to become complacent as the number of cases starts to decline in the coming months. But we must not rest until there are zero cases of Ebola. We must not rest until the health system in West Africa is strong enough to contain the new outbreak, whether it be Ebola or some other threat." Dr. Rick Sacra is with us today post-2015. We know another threat has come, the COVID pandemic. He's spoken about that. Look, you can get this program in its entirety as a podcast. Go to drdanny.live. It's available on major podcast platforms. Dr. Rick Sacra, you can find out more about him at facebook.com/Rick Sacra. Rick, you talked about peace. You talked about hope. You talked about finding Christ and the peace of Christ in the midst of life's trials. Someone today is going through an unspeakable challenge. Their minds, they can't wrap their minds around it. They can't describe what's happening. What would you say? How would the Lord want you to share with someone with a broken heart today?
I don't think our faith is one that provides easy answers. When I hear somebody giving what I'd call a pat answer, I don't like that. Because these situations in life are not easy. One of my dear friends, my best friends in Liberia, one of these people I've known since 1995, just last week had to have an amputation, above the knee amputation, lost his leg because of diabetes. That's not an easy situation. He can't walk now. He now has to learn how to use crutches. So when somebody's heart is breaking and life is not good, for me, number one is that you're not alone, that God is real, God is there, even if you can't feel him or experience him in some way that you can get at that moment. Please know that God is listening, God is concerned, God wants to be your God, God wants to be your provider, your peace, your banner. God sees you and God hears you. And no matter what, no matter how tough the challenge is that you're facing, God is going to be solid for you to get you through that. But don't get discouraged if it doesn't get better right away. I think sometimes we as Christians want to give somebody, oh, it's going to get better right away. It's going to get better. And some of these situations don't get better right away. But number one is that we have a rock that we can stand on. God never changes. And the principles and the ways of his word never change. And those are the solid foundation stones that we can build on and stand on.
Will you pray? Will you pray for our dear friend who's going through this tough time?
Father God, we know that there are people listening right now who are facing a situation where there's been bad news, where things are falling apart, where the thing they were counting on to live on or to give them stability and to make them happy and satisfied in life has just disappeared, has fallen apart, whether it's a health situation or a financial situation. Lord, we ask that you would be there with them. We ask that you would wrap them up in your arms of love. We ask that you would be that reliable source of wisdom and strength. And we ask, Lord, that you'd give them somebody to fellowship with, somebody to share their pain with, and that you'd give them people who are willing to rally around them and give them the practical, hands-on support that everybody needs when life turns to a painful chapter. And Lord, we do pray that you would reassure each of us in those moments when we're at our worst, just that you have us in your hands and that one day we will get to be in your presence and you'll wipe away every tear. In the name of Jesus, your Son, amen.
Amen. Amen. A prayer of hope, a prayer of encouragement, a prayer of power as we enter the throne of grace through Christ our Lord. Rick Saker, thank you for sharing that. The stewardship of the platform that God has given you. When you went back to Liberia after being healed from Ebola, news media picked up on the story and things began to expand for you in terms of reach, communication, influence. How have you felt God guiding you to use that platform?
It's just been an opportunity to point people's eyes to the Lord, to Jesus, and to what it means to know Him and to serve Him. And it's also been an opportunity to point out to people here in a country that, for the most part, has resources, of the need to be generous, of the need to be, of the need to make a difference. In places like Liberia, I mean, we do have resources, and we do have opportunities to make a difference in places where people literally don't know where their next meal is coming from, or don't have even a pair of gloves to put on to protect themselves in a clinic against Ebola. Even right now, there's an Ebola outbreak in Uganda, and we need to be paying attention to that and generously making a difference there as well.
The work continues. The challenge is there. You're engaged. Others are engaged, but we need more engagement. You can find out more about how to engage. Connect with Rick Sacra at facebook.com/Rick.Sacra. Rick Sacra, as a little boy, was spending time in libraries, bookshelves. Your face lights up when I say that. Rick Sacra of today, is Rick Sacra of today still mining libraries, still have his hands on the pages of books?
I love books. I do. I've enjoyed history from Paul Revere and George Washington and Abe Lincoln, those characters. And I also enjoy some of the wonderful Christian writers, Dallas Willard, I'm reading right now, Eugene Peterson, a brand new book I just got a few days ago called Bright Hope for Tomorrow by a good friend of mine about the second coming of Christ. So yeah, I'm still a bookworm.
Are you a person who has bookmarkers in multiple books as you read through, or do you read all the way through one before you start the other?
No, I often have three or four going at a time.
You like multiple stories going on in your heart and mind simultaneously. Well, it's with that level of complexity that the grace of God's Spirit works through a man like Dr. Rick Sacra, and it's with that level of complexity customized to your own making, dear friend, that the Lord is able to minister to you and speak to you, and we believe as He has done so today through the ministry of Dr. Rick Sacra. Rick, thank you so much for being with us.
Praise God. Thank you.
Enriching words of hope from Dr. Rick Sacra, facebook.com/Rick.Sacra. My friend, God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, I believe this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Go to drdanny.live for more resources, to join our prayer team, or partner with us financially. Again, drdanny.live, and I thank you in advance. Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Dr. Rick Sacra, facebook.com/Rick.Sacra. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, Shana Kusumoto, and guest coordinator, Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with the good life.